Let's go, girls.
Welcome to the AmeriChicks with Kim Monson and Molly Vogt. Molly is a former mutual fund consultant and retirement plan specialist who is currently the director and founder of My Purse Politics. Kim served as a city councilwoman, is a former investment broker, and now a successful entrepreneur. Now, let's hear what's hatching in local and national politics with the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim.
Hey, welcome. We hope you are having a terrific Thursday. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Monson. I'm Kim Monson.
And I am Molly Vogt.
Yes, you are. And we are the AmeriChicks. That's our website, AmeriChicks.com. That's where we are on Facebook and Twitter. And then, of course, our I Am a Movement Facebook page as well. Be sure and check out our website. We have all of our shows archived there, and there's a lot of great information. We're going to have to really jump into everything right now, Molly, because it is a jam-packed show. In studio, we have with us a parent and board chair of Golden View Classical Academy, a public charter school out in Jefferson County. Derek Schuler, welcome. Great to have you here, as well as Kim Gilmartin, also parent and vice chair of the board of Golden View Classical Academy, a public charter school.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you here. So there's some things going on. This is out in Jefferson County. But first of all, Derek, could you explain what a public charter school is?
A public charter school is a public school that's authorized by either a local school district or the state. And what makes it unique is that it's given waivers to do certain things. So it has curricular autonomy, instructional autonomy, can hire teachers. So there are a lot of things that it has that are pretty unique to it. But they're tuition free, and they have an open admissions process. So they don't get to select kids, and they serve kids with special needs and a wide range. But there's like a lot of different models available in the charter movement, from Montessori, classical, and a wide range of options.
Okay. Now, you mentioned waivers, and my understanding is charter schools get waivers. What should we call it? Traditional schools also can apply for waivers for, like, innovation and things. And we're starting to see that happen a little bit, but I think some people don't understand that any school can apply for a waiver.
So that is a common misperception that charter schools have a unique advantage over any other traditional public school. That it's also not well known, but it should be, that traditional schools can apply for the same waivers that charter schools can. So as an example, we're able to hire certified teachers or content experts, or teachers who are content experts rather than state certified teachers, or people who have licensing approved by the state. So we have a lot more flexibility and hire people with professional background experience in sciences and math and business and industry.
So Kim Gilmartin, vice chair of the board of Golden View Classical Academy, regarding this thing about like a non-certified teacher, initially that might sound like, oh, maybe not as qualified. But my understanding is you could have like a rocket scientist and ask them to come in and teach rocket science. But in some schools, if you don't have a certification, you can't do that.
Right. So charters get waivers for that. And it's, in my experience, has been extremely beneficial because we have, especially the classical approach, we need teachers that are classically trained. And that means that it's a little different than the teacher certification that you're going to get by going to getting a degree in education and childhood education. I mean, we want content matter experts. So my son, my eighth grader, has a physics teacher who truly understands physics. This was his major in college. And sometimes we've just got someone's gone through classical liberal arts training, and that's who we have for our teachers. So it makes a huge difference. And I have seen big changes in my own children, watching them learn from these individuals.
This is Molly. I wanted to ask a question real quick. Because you said the charter schools, there's no tuition, so the parents aren't paying tuition. How are the schools funded?
The charter schools are publicly funded schools. So we receive state funding, which is a bulk of the funding for a charter school. And then your schools also are typically funded with local property taxes as well. So charter schools in most districts, and there's a new state law that will kick in next year. So charter schools will receive funding from local tax dollars here next year. And also, charter schools have a little bit of capital construction money to help pay for facilities. So charter schools do pay all their facility costs out of their operational dollars, unlike a traditional public school that has its capital needs paid for outside of its operational revenue.
You know, Derek, I think that's a really important point to make because in many of our communities, our population is aging. And so they may not have children in school. I think they still care about school, but they also care about their pocketbook. And from what I can see, the fact that charters, publicly funded charter schools, go out and raise the money for their capital projects, where they go to school, that seems to save the taxpayer an awful lot of money.
Yeah, and actually, it's a great deal for taxpayers. We actually just helped a school get approved in Douglas County, St. Classical Academy and Dove Dugco. And it's that exact sense. It's like the benefits of charters address that. It's, you have a school district that doesn't have a lot of money available to build new schools to address growth. And by having by partnering with charter schools and having them as part of the community and the portfolio of schools, charter schools go out and they're able to obtain their own financing. And they're able to operate typically at a lower cost than a traditional neighborhood school. So it's a great benefit to taxpayers.
Now, I've heard people say that charters are hurting the traditional school, that they're draining resources. Is that true?
I think that's a very interesting argument for people to make that, because basically you're admitting that when parents are given the choice for something else, they don't want what's currently being offered. So I find that a curious justification on why we shouldn't have more choice.
And I think that charters actually can help a community. First of all, I can tell you that for me, the neighborhood school was not working for my children. As you know, one size does not fit all. And so I needed to leave and find a school that definitely worked better for my kids. And when neighborhood schools do see students leaving to go to a charter school, they need to ask themselves, why are the children leaving? What's not working? Do the parents want a different curriculum? Do they want a different culture in the school? Do they want a different classroom setup? And that's what needs to happen. Those are the conversations that need to happen, because that creates better schools all around.
Okay, one other quick question, and that is, regarding oversight, there is the argument that charters are too autonomous. I happen to think that if principals and teachers have, families have more choice on their children's education, that's good. Just a quick comment, and then we have to tell people what's going on out there.
Sure. So charter schools are highly accountable. They are financially accountable. So if you go to the website of any charter school in the state of Colorado, you will find audited financials. You'll see current financial statements. There's a lot of information that charter schools have to be very public about. Also in accountability, there's academic accountability. You can look at their test data or their performance data, since that's what the state of Colorado uses with their state performance framework. And one thing that's unique about charter schools that's more accountability than a lot of schools is that charter schools have to come back every number of years and justify their performance and their existence to be reauthorized. And that's something we don't see with a lot of failing neighborhood schools.
Okay. Now we have about 3 minutes, and this is breaking news. What's going on out there in Jeffco?
Yeah, so we just had a situation in Jefferson County. So we've been involved in a contract dispute with Jefferson County, and just because of the circumstances, that is absolutely our responsibility. We take responsibility for the issue that's involves a draft audit timeline. So Jefferson County has really prematurely and aggressively and hostily jumped the gun. They have notified us they're withholding funding from our school and our kids. So our kids are not currently being funded. Unfortunately, we still are in a cure period of the dispute. So not only are we in violation of the contract at this point, but they have failed to follow the due process and procedures that are in the contract as well. So they have gone straight to the punishment and just completely neglected the time frames that are established in the contract. And this is hurting kids.
You know, I just have to jump in quickly. Yesterday, we were talking about Senate Bill 267 that is coming back for a special session. And I printed the whole bill, and on the second page, it says, regarding the audit of the healthcare affordability and sustainability fee, that there in that legislation, it says, at the discretion of the legislative audit committee, the state auditor shall conduct or cause to be conducted a performance and fiscal audit. This is at discretion
for this billions and billions of dollars. And here we have this little school that, and this was an oversight, and went directly to the punishment, right?
Well, I'll be very clear. So as charter schools, we complete an independent audit every year, and that's not in dispute. And the contract deadline that we're going to have that to the district on October 15th is not in dispute.
And that's what you thought you would need to do, right?
Right. So our Jefferson County actually has imposed a draft audit requirement deadline of September 15 only on our school. It does not apply to any other charter school in the district in Jefferson County. It's just our school.
How many other charter schools are there in the district?
I think there's 16 other charter schools in Jefferson County.
And why do they say you are the only ones that have to now comply with this change?
So part of it is we are the only charter school in Jefferson County that, again, to the issue of autonomy, that we have removed ourselves from their financial system. So we don't do any of our finances, HR, payroll through the district. And one could say that, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things that they've thrown out at us that are a big inconvenience as a result of doing that. And they continue to let us know that it creates difficulties for them. So we're treated very differently other charter schools.
Gosh, that seems a little discriminatory to me. Actually, we have this other issue we need to talk about. So we're going to hold Michael, our next guest, because we want to explain this as well. So Derek Schuler, Kim Gilmartin, thank you for being here. We're going to go to break. This is the AmeriChicks, and we'll be right back.
If you're a veteran looking to purchase a home, choose the local experts, Kim Sturtz and Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance. VA loans offer qualifying veterans the option to buy without a down payment. And since these loans are government insured, limited closing fees. Active duty military, reserves, National Guard, retired military, and surviving spouses may qualify. Give Kim Sturtz or Mark Cook at Home Mortgage Alliance a call today at 303-888-2732. Or check them out on the AmeriChicks referral list at AmeriChicks.com. Home Mortgage Alliance LLC is an approved FHA lender and sponsored agent of VA loans. NMLS number 1137507.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516. Or visit her online at Karen-Levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you. Bookkeeping, accounting, and taxes, oh my! No need to worry about your company or personal finances with the proven professionals at Predovich & Company. Predovich & Company are certified public accountants who offer exceptional services to individuals, businesses, and nonprofits. Serving the South Metro area, the team at Predovich & Company strives to take a proactive approach in understanding your tax, accounting, and bookkeeping needs and situation. Give Predovich & Company a call at 303-791-3000 or check out their website at dpredovich.com and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
It's time. October is coming, and the scary features are hitting the screen. Please join the historic 88 Drive-In Theater and be sure to bring someone to hold on to for their upcoming triple features. Admission at 88 Drive-In Theater is only $8 per person, and children under 12 are free. Your admission includes all features. Stay for one or all three. New fall box office hours are 6 p.m. Friday and Saturday and 6:30 p.m. Monday through Thursday. To stay up to date on movie showings and times, go to 88drivein.net and like the 88 Drive-In on Facebook. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, welcome back. We are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. And I think there's some movies we need to let people know about.
Well, it is fall and it feels good. So get on out there and get to the 88 Drive-In Movie Theater, because if you're in the mood for Halloween, they got some scary ones. The first one's easy for the kids. The Lego Ninjago, and that's at 7 p.m. I hope that's how you say it. But then I hope they fall asleep. It gets scarier. The Hitman's Bodyguard is at 8:50 p.m. and It is at 10:50 p.m. So it's getting cooler. They've got cider. They've got funnel cakes. They've got all kinds of cool stuff. So there you go. So we're getting back to this topic again. So Kimmy, this morning I saw on Facebook that a couple of friends of mine who are parents who actually have kids that go to Golden View Classical Academy, and they love the school. They love the school. They're really, really nervous. They said they just found out that Jeffco School Board and the superintendent are withholding funds from their charter school. And I said, what in the world is going on? Does that mean the kids can even go to class? What's the reason? Why are they withholding it? What's up? So in studio, we have with us Derek Schuler and Kim Gilmartin from Golden View Classical Academy. So Derek, walk us through what's going on.
Well, as we just mentioned.
As you mentioned before the break, but just a little bit more. And then what's going to happen to the kids?
Right. So again, so we mentioned a dispute that we take responsibility for, absolute responsibility for. And again, we are still in a cure period and there's still a due process. But all of that has been completely ignored by the second largest school district in the state of Colorado in a very punitive way. But by withholding funds, it's withholding funds from the education of 670 children in our charter school. As a parent, as I hear that, I get concerned. What does that do to my kid in my classroom? Mm-hmm. Of all the remedies available to a school district in a charter disagreement, if the due process has been followed, there's a number of things that a district could do. And again, it could be a conversation. It could be, hey, what's the alternate timeline? How are we going to address this? Or how are we going to make sure this doesn't happen again in the future? So there's a number of remedies. And again, withholding funding from kids is one of the most severe. The optics on that are just really ugly from my perspective as a parent and as a taxpayer in our community, especially for something that's going to be resolved no later than October 12th.
Yeah.
Why withhold funds on something that has a short time frame
that? It's a big question. There is one other issue, though, which things are flipped. Tell us about the school district and the, your share of the administrative funding or something, right?
Right. That's a second issue. It's been an interesting week. We've had the district provide notice of violating the contract twice in a week for us. So on the other issue is every year a charter school authorizer, which is again typically a school district, can withhold overhead fees. That's for central administrative overhead and direct cost. So that withholding is negotiated annually. It can't exceed 5%. And this past year, the district presented us a number that we know is significantly much higher than it really costs them. So we countered back and we agreed that we sent them that we'll let you withhold 2.2%. They signed it. Our boards mutually signed them. And then beginning of the year, the district just started arbitrarily withholding 3.77 in complete violation of the contract. And our staff has had to go back and forth. The district said, have your attorney contact us if you don't like it. And then last week, we understand that the district's legal counsel met with the superintendent, and the result of that conversation was the direction or the indication that the district is not going to honor our services contract. And they told us if we didn't like that, we can go into dispute resolution. So it's just really
been a fun week, hasn't it?
It has. You know, and dispute resolution, again, that's us paying for attorneys. We're a charter school. We run really lean budgets. And that's more money out of classrooms. It's money for attorneys. And we're dealing with a school district that has a $1 billion budget. And it's a drop in the bucket for them. But this is something that is a lot to us.
Okay. Well, quick final thoughts, because we have Michael Cutler. We're going to be talking with him regarding MS-13 gangs. So final thoughts, Kim?
Well, I just want to say I think it's important for everyone to be aware of this, because it doesn't make sense for a school district, a school board, and a superintendent who claim to care so much about children and public education to take the nuclear option at the first chance and withhold funds from a school, from kids. And, you know, Golden View luckily has been very fiscally responsible, so we can weather this storm. But what if it were a brand new charter that didn't have 1 month's of funding to hold over? How would they pay their teachers? How would they keep their doors open for 670 kids? What does that tell the community about what you think about choice and charter? And that's what I think people and parents that appreciate choice need to think about.
Okay. Derek, final thoughts?
I'd like to echo what Kim said. I think this just shows us the importance, especially for our community, that charter schools and charter parents need to be involved. They need to be involved in elections. They need to be involved in what's going on in the school districts. And they need to stand up for the choices that are important to them and their families.
Very good. Well, Derek Schuler and Kim Gilmartin, parents, and also the
board chair and vice chair of Golden View Classical Academy. Thank you so much for breaking this news on the AmeriChicks. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Okay.
And let us know when you get updates as well. So, hey, people love kids, right? Why in the world would Jefferson County keep money from them? That doesn't make any sense. So, let's move on. We've got Michael Cutler on the phone, and he's an expert. He's a former Immigration and Natural Services special agent, and he testified in the 9/11 Commission. We all remember that time, and we've challenged him recently, saying, are we any safer today than we were, you know, back, say, you know, September 10th, 2001? And he has said no, and he's given us reasons over and over again. We had him on the show previously. We're out at Constitution Week together a couple weeks ago. And so, Michael Cutler, thank you for joining us today. We wanted to talk to you a little bit today about
thank you for having me.
Wanted to talk to you about MS-13 gangs.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're hearing a lot about Antifa. We're hearing a lot about all these other, you know, groups that are dangerous. But MS-13 is another one that I don't think people quite understand. Give us a little background, sure, if you don't mind.
Well, I began investigating them. It's a transnational gang, and the issue transnational means that they operate in two or more countries. And this is really critical for folks to understand. They're based out of, it started in California with refugees who came here because of all the violence in El Salvador. Primarily, the members are mostly from El Salvador, Guatemala, Mexico, and the United States. And they have come to become the most pernicious gang in the United States, going back to when President Obama decided to allow that flood of unaccompanied minors to flow freely across the borders. You know, we tend to think of children when they're 13, 14 years old as innocent, as vulnerable, and many are. But around the world, that is not always the case. You know, there are so-called children who have committed murders. I've worked with police where we had 12-year-old hitmen, believe it or not. So when you're dealing with violent kids and you're putting them in school, you're talking about safety in schools and what's best for our children. What we're finding on Long Island here in New York, and I began investigating MS-13 25 years ago. I hate to admit how long ago it was.
25 years.
And back then, they were basically the pimple on the backside of an elephant. They were minor. They weren't significant.
JV team.
I'm sorry?
A JV team, to term somebody else's
JV,
coin.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But you know, if you allow your roof to leak from one little spot and you let it keep going, eventually that one leak will spread and bring down the house.
Yep.
And so that's what's happened here. 40 states, according to recent information at congressional hearings, 40 states are now infested by this violent gang. On Long Island, within the last 2 years, it is believed that at least 20 children were killed by the gang. And by the way, when we hear this nonsense, well, if you want to enforce the immigration laws, you're anti-Latino, and what American Latino voters want is open borders. First of all, that's a statement of racism. Americans are Americans. I don't care what your race, religion, ethnicity is. As Americans, we basically want the same things. We want the military to keep America's enemies, and there's no shortage of that, as far from our shores as possible. We want law enforcement to make our streets, our schools, our places of employment, and so forth as safe as possible. And we want the schools to be able to effectively educate our kids so that any American, irrespective of what I call the superficial factors, race, religion, ethnicity, gender, any American willing to study hard, work hard, and benefit from a little bit of luck can write the next great American success story. So what we're seeing within the Latino community, because these ethnic criminal gangs, whether it's MS-13 involved with the Latino community, Asian organized crime, the Russian mob, the Italian mob, the Israeli mob, the Jamaican drug posses, I'm familiar with all those groups because for 30 years I was arresting these characters and conducting investigations. I've arrested terrorists in my career. I've arrested murderers in my career, and they don't just come from Latin America. You know, they come from all over the world because human nature is human nature. But where do you think a transnational criminal is likely to set up shop? Within his or her ethnic immigrant community. And this is for a bunch of reasons. Number one, it's convenient. You're familiar with the language. You're familiar with the customs. You're familiar with the food and the music. If you're a guy, you're looking for girls. It's easier to find a girl who can relate to you. If you're hiding from law enforcement, You don't want to be the sore thumb that sticks out. You know, if you're an Asian guy living in a Latino community, people are going to spot you in a heartbeat. If you're an Asian guy living in an Asian community, you're just another blade of grass on the lawn, okay? So they live within those communities. Mm-hmm. Now, because they have their feet in both countries, they can go up to some innocent victim and say to this guy, let me tell you what, I know where your sister is, and they show the guy a photograph of his sister, and they say, you're going to take this package to Chicago in the back of your car. If you don't do it, if the package is tampered with, if you don't get there, if you're late, you won't see your sister again. They now have a courier. This is the kind of threat that they can carry out because, again, their buddies are back in that home country where these immigrants come from.
Mm-hmm.
So they extort cooperation. They get these folks to not cooperate with police. And that's why when I hear this nonsense that if you have immigration working with the police, the immigrants won't come forward is one of the biggest lies I've ever heard. I spent half my 30-year career with the Drug Task Force. I spent 4 years with the Unified Intelligence Division of DEA. I had desks at the FBI, DEA, ATF. I worked with local and city police and law enforcement from around the world. One of the strongest weapons we had against the gangs and against terrorists were our immigration laws and our ability to provide visas to aliens who are here illegally but who come forward to provide information. It's remarkable that sanctuary city mayors and sanctuary city governors don't educate the residents of their jurisdictions and say, listen, we're on your side. We're not trying to hurt you. If you can come forward so we can get the bad guys off the street that threaten you and your children and your families, immigration will give you visas so you could stay here forever. My friends at the FBI used to tell me that that ability was a far stronger incentive than providing money because their pockets were very deep at the FBI. But what I could provide was a visa to a cooperating illegal alien. You never hear that. All you hear is that we've got to shield the immigrants from the mean immigration agents. First of all, immigrants are here legally. We're talking about illegal aliens, criminals, and terrorists.
Mm-hmm. Hang on, Michael Cutler. We're going to need to go to break, and we're talking about MS-13 gangs. And Michael Cutler is an expert in the field. He was a secret agent in the INS with the FBI, DEA, Drug Task Force, all kinds of stuff. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's the Americhicks.
Dude, I need help. How can I perfect my golf swing and keep my promise to put in a whole new kitchen by next month?
No worries. Call Rafe and Colin at Harmony Ridge Construction. They've been doing this for 40 years all over the globe. Trust me, they'll make you look like a genius, and you'll have more time to perfect that golf swing. You really need to work on that.
Great. I'll give Harmony Ridge Construction a call today. What's their number?
720-660-0265. Or visit them online at harmonyridgeconstruction.com. They're best for any small fix or large remodel. They'll help you out.
Guy Whidden, 101st Airborne, landed Normandy in the dark on D-Day 1944, was knocked out on the jump, woke up, a gun to his head. What happened next? If you love the Americhicks World War II Project on Fridays and know a World War II vet, we'd love to share their story. We're in a race against time to gather as many stories as possible and as quickly as possible to preserve them for all future generations. So if you know a World War II vet or have that great World War II story to share, email us at americhicks@gmail.com. That's the americhicks@gmail.com.
And now, the Lens of Liberty. Here's Helen Kriebel.
The government keeps sticking its spatula where it doesn't belong. Because a few people became sick from eating tainted hamburger years ago, the government urged more thorough cooking, and many states adopted regulations requiring restaurants to cook hamburgers at least medium well. The concern is understandable, but if we look at the issue through the lens of liberty, we might realize that giving the government power over the way we cook our food intrudes on our most basic freedoms. I happen to like my hamburgers medium rare, and so do millions of other Americans. As an informed citizen, it is my duty, not the government's, to know what risks I may be taking and to make the choices of a responsible adult. That is why Americans believe in limited government, because we believe ordinary people can govern themselves.
The Lens of Liberty is brought to you by the Vernon K. Kriebel Foundation.
Hey, welcome back to the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim on KDMT. We are on the phone with Michael Cutler because we are talking about just really threats to America. Are we any safer today than we were September 10th, 2001? We'd asked him this question last time we were talking. And one of the things he had mentioned was MS-13 and their specific game. They're a transnational gang, and they're very big here in America. And I just recently heard about them in the past year and a half, I believe, Michael. So I'm glad you're going to talk to us about it. So you were a special agent with the INS, and also you worked with the Drug Task Force, FBI, DEA, all kinds of different groups. So you're really an expert on the nexus between immigration and national security. So you know what you're talking about. So when we talk about MS-13, since they're a transnational gang, who's in charge ultimately? Is there one, like, head mob boss somewhere in another country? Who's running it?
The Russian mob works the same way. The Russians have an interesting term. They call themselves thieves in law. So it's not like the organized crime, the mob, LCN, La Casa Nostra, where you had John Gotti, who was the boss of bosses and so forth. Very often it's an ad hoc group. They have a hierarchy within the organization. But, the gangs exist in multiple locations and so forth. They coordinate their activities, but it's not like you're going to take off one guy and he's the kingpin. You may have a kingpin in a particular city or in a particular location, but they tend to branch out, and they act in close cooperation with one another, also against other gangs. So that leads to more street violence. And what's remarkable to me is for years we've been hearing arrests are down, arrests are up along the border. I remember I was on with Neil Cavuto, and he said, Border Patrol arrests are down. This was a number of years ago when Mr. Obama was in the White House. That means there's fewer illegal aliens coming into the United States. I said, well, first of all, Neil, understand something. We're not a country of four border states. We're a country of 50 border states. Any state that has an international airport, any state that lies along America's 95,000 miles of coastline, any state that lies along our northern as well as our southern borders are all border states. Most of the terrorists who have attacked America thus far did not run the Mexican border. They came through international airports, often committing visa fraud and immigration fraud as a means of entering the United States and embedding themselves. In fact, I've been before, I think we're up to 17 congressional hearings now in the House and Senate where I've testified as an expert witness. I did my very first hearing on May 20th, 1997, on the issue of immigration fraud and visa fraud because of two terror attacks carried out in the United States in 1993. First, Kansi, a Pakistani national, shot up the CIA in January 93, killed two CIA officers, wounded three others, and fled the country. One of the things people need to understand is that criminals and terrorists from other countries have an escape hatch. If they can get out of Dodge, if they can leave the United States, very often they get beyond the reach of our long arm of the law. In the case of Kansi, given the nature of his crimes, our guys tracked him down, brought him back here, put him on trial. He was found guilty and executed, but it didn't bring back the dead. 1 month later, February of 1993, we had the first bombing at the World Trade Center. Six people were killed, more than 1,000 people injured, more than $500 million in damages were inflicted on the Trade Center complex. One of the buildings almost came down sideways. And, having been in the marvelous area of Grand Lake with you and Tom Goodfellow and all the other great folks that were there, my new friend Bob Baylink, who drove the vet that I had the privilege of sitting on.
That was a great day, wasn't it, Michael? You had a great time.
I just have to digress for one moment because I want to make this point, and I hope they're listening. And if they are, gentlemen, I want you to know that you and your fellow townspeople made my day. When I started writing about immigration and going before Congress and appearing in the media to wake Americans up, those ashes landed on my home. And the fact that I had testified about this threat back in 1997 and nothing was done to protect us, and we wind up with 9/11, and we continue to wind up with increasing threats of terrorism in America. You sit there at night banging away on the keyboard of your laptop, and you wonder, is anyone paying attention? There's a wonderful Broadway show, 1776, where John Adams sings, "Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anyone see what I see?" And he sings that song in an empty chamber where the Congress was convening. And sometimes I kind of related to that. Is anyone paying attention? And I have to tell you, It was humbling. It was one of the biggest thrills of my entire life to be on the back of Bob's Corvette driving through the center of Grand Lake and seeing that genuine outpouring of warmth. It brought tears to my eyes. Mm. So I will never forget it. It was a very special week for me, and you guys were certainly a part of it. It was quite a privilege. And that's the bottom line. You
well,
know,
Michael Cutler, I just want to jump in that, I mean, you're a tough guy. I mean, when you talk about what you've done with MS-13 and all, you know, all that you have done with all these bad guys, you look like a kid in a candy store after you got out of that Corvette going down that parade. So that was pretty cool. It was really fun.
Well, I felt very much like that. But this goes back to my point. We have allowed the news media, we have allowed these BS pollsters, the nonsense, with their magic markers, the lines are going up and the lines are going down. They're trying to make it look scientific. It's a bunch of junk. As Americans, I don't care what your religion is. I happen to be Jewish. By the way, if there are any Jewish listeners, I wish everybody, not just our Jewish friends, but everybody a happy, healthy, safe, peaceful New Year, because we're celebrating the New Year this week. And I don't care what your race, religion, ethnicity. I don't care if you're big town, small town, Democrat, Republican. As Americans, we share so many common goals and dreams. And when I listen to this divisive garbage about Latino voters and black voters and Jewish voters, we are American voters. I love that you call yourself the Americhicks. We are Americans.
Yes.
And that one word, I really think, says it all. And we have unwisely allowed people who have a global agenda to tear this country into little pieces, and it's time we put the pieces back together again before it's too late. When you look at the damage being done, not by immigrants, this isn't about being anti-immigrant. That's another one of the big lies. You know, I was an inspector at the beginning of my career. And let me tell you what, I had the ability, and I did it frequently, to admit aliens into the United States, and I was happy when I could. Yes, I was there to keep people out who shouldn't have been let in. And the laws are designed to keep out, and these are the categories for excluding aliens. Aliens who have dangerous communicable diseases. Let's remember Ellis Island was a quarantine station. Aliens who are severely mentally ill. Aliens who are criminals, murderers, drug dealers, rapists, child molesters, bank robbers. Aliens who are fugitives from justice, spies, terrorists, human rights violators, war criminals. Aliens who are previously deported, and aliens who, if they worked, would wind up displacing American workers. It's not about race or religion. And we admit more than a million lawful immigrants into the United States each and every year, and I had a part of that responsibility. I spent a year as an adjudications officer doing the marriage interviews that you've seen in the movies. And yes, I uncovered fraud rings, and we denied people green cards when they were supposed to not get them. But I certainly granted green cards joyfully to many more immigrants than I denied. The immigration laws aren't about keeping people out. It's about keeping people out who pose a threat to the safety and well-being of America and Americans. And we've lost sight of that. And when Jimmy Carter started this nonsense that we're going to refer to illegal aliens as immigrants, irrespective of how they come here, you know, we spend over $14 billion a year on Customs and Border Protection. That includes the Border Patrol and the inspectors at the ports of entry. If it doesn't matter how you come here, why do we bother inspecting passengers who arrive on international flights and who come on ships and who seek to cross the land borders that divide the United States from both Mexico and Canada? It's about doing the same thing that responsible homeowners do. You look through your peephole before you let a stranger into your home. That's all we're asking to do. And I look at what President Trump has been trying to do, and now you see the nonsense in California where there's going to be a sanctuary state. We're going to protect the immigrants from immigration agents. Immigrants who are here legally need no protection. When George W. Bush was in the White House, he kept running around saying, we're going to legalize the immigrants. And I used to go on stage, and I would say to people, offering to legalize immigrants is like offering to make water wet. Water is wet. Immigrants are legal. He's talking about legalizing illegal aliens. Mm-hmm. And so you now have the courts fighting with President Trump, who has issued an executive order, and he's modified it. And here's the thing that people need to know. It's not a travel ban. I'm really sorry that the president keeps calling it a travel ban now himself. He's doing damage to his own cause. Why don't we use the actual name of his executive order that I'm sure was written by Senator Jeff Sessions, because I knew him as senator. He's quoted me from the floor of the Senate when I wrote an article for the Washington Times and called Comprehensive Immigration Reform the Terrorist Assistance and Facilitation Act. But if you look at the wording, the title of President Trump's executive order, it's not a travel ban. It's called Protecting the Nation from Foreign Terrorist Entry into the United States. Mm-hmm.
And so, Michael Culler, hang on with us.
About that.
We're gonna go to break here, so we want to make sure that everybody knows. When we get back, we are going to talk about the changes to, say the name again, Michael.
Protecting the Nation from Foreign Terrorist Entry into the United States.
That sounds logical to me. How about you, Kimmy?
Me too.
All right, so there are some changes on the countries that are listed, and we're going to talk about those and the differences with Michael Cutler, former special agent with the INS. So stick with us. This is the AmeriChicks on KDMT. We'll be right back.
When buying or selling your home, you need a top-notch negotiator with experience. Award-winning RE/MAX Alliance Realtor Karen Levine has helped individuals navigate the ups and downs of the Denver real estate market for over 25 years. Karen Levine is honest, trustworthy, and has your best interests in mind. Let Karen help you find the right home for your lifestyle. Call Karen at 303-877-7516 for a no-cost consultation. That's 303-877-7516, or visit her online at karen-levine.com and tell her the AmeriChicks sent you.
Hey, if you like what you're hearing from the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, chances are your future clients do too. Let us help you promote your business and fatten up your wallet. To feature your business on the AmeriChicks program, email us at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. We feature the most topical news and intriguing guests every weekday during afternoon drive time, 5 to 6 p.m., while you and your clients are enjoying the program on your way home from work. So become a sponsor today by emailing the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, at AmeriChicks@gmail.com. That's the AmeriChicks@gmail.com. Or visit us online at AmeriChicks.com. Today you need to have a great online and social media presence, and the best in the biz is Desi On Demand. The AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, personally work with Brandon, the founder of Desi On Demand. Desi On Demand is instrumental with our video projects, Chick Chat, Eggs, Exceptional Endeavors, and our World War II project. We most heartily endorse his creativity, innovation, dedication, and integrity. Brandon and his team bring all that to the table. Check out Desi On Demand's website at mydesi.com or call 303-359-1522 for more info, and be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
In a world of uncertainty, anything can happen. It pays to protect yourself, your family, your business, your home, and your car. And it pays to work with the proven professionals at Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy McCallum and his Alliance Insurance Services team work with a variety of insurance companies competing for your business. Jeremy and the Alliance Insurance Services team helps you find the right insurance at the right price. They know you'll sleep better at night knowing Alliance Insurance Services is handling all of your insurance needs. Give them a call today at 303-431-9351. That's 303-431-9351. And be sure to tell them the AmeriChicks sent you.
Back, we are the AmeriChicks, Molly Vogt and Kim Munson. We have on the line with us Michael Cutler, and he is talking about immigration. He is a former special agent with the INS. But before we get to that, Molly, it is my computer is back up and running, and that is a good thing because I was getting very frustrated. I can't wait till EvanYourITGuy.com is going live this next week, I think right around October 1st. And Evan, Your IT Guy is a network of IT professionals that they're ready to provide on-demand help with your computer needs. And so go to EvanYourITGuy.com and go ahead and sign up so that you can get all of their notifications. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the screen there, you can sign up for a free webcam cover, which is very nice so that Big Brother or whoever can't be watching you while you're on your computer. And that is EvanYourITGuy.com. Be sure and check it out. And they are really focused on small businesses and individuals because you only pay for what you need. So EvanYourITGuy.com, a brand new growing our brand partner with the AmeriChicks, and we are very excited about that.
We are. So we're on the phone right now with former Special Agent Michael Cutler. He was with the INS, and he's testified many, many times. One of the most important ones, I feel like, is probably the 9/11 Commission. We all remember that terrible day in 2001. And so, Michael Cutler, before we went to break, you started to mention what some people call the travel ban. But I believe I'm looking right now at the White House presidential proclamation on enhancing vetting capabilities and processes for detecting attempted entry into the United States by terrorist or other public safety threats. So President Trump is seeking to keep out terrorists, people that want to hurt us. And I know that the original countries that were listed, former President Obama had already kind of waved them as a warning sign as well, saying that they're broken states. We could not vet their citizens properly when they came here. Now, there's been a change, and he's added, you know, he's made a couple changes lately. Do you want to walk us through those and tell us why you think those changes were important?
They're very important. And by the way, if you look at the law, and it's Title 8, United States Code, Section 1182, little f, as in Frank, it basically says the president has sole authority if he believes that the presence of any alien or class of aliens would be contrary to the best interest of the United States or detrimental to the interest of the United States. He may bar their entry for as long a period of time as he deems appropriate. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he's doing. It's something Jimmy Carter did with the Iranians when the Iranians overran the U.S. Embassy at Tehran. In fact, we went out and looked for Iranians, period.
Well, isn't that the reason that we as a country really came together united is because we wanted to stand together against threats, foreign and domestic?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So think about
that's
the craziness
point
that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
But what the president added to the list, and it's interesting because the ACLU, and I used to have tremendous respect for them, but after enough back and forth with them, confrontations in courtrooms and on programs where we've debated, and a group called CARE, the Council on American-Islamic Relations, they're saying, well, this is just window dressing, so the public doesn't understand this is anti-Islamist. No, it's not. So let me tell you what countries were added, and I'll tell you what we should take away from it.
Great.
He's added Venezuela, North Korea, and Chad. Now, Chad is in Africa. It is a country in a state of free fall. The Brits pulled their embassy out. We still have an embassy, but if you go to the State Department, they warn in no ambiguous terms, very clearly, this is a dangerous place. You probably don't want to be there. Boko Haram and other terrorist groups operate freely. Terrorists flow across the borders. There's thousands and thousands of refugees and criminals and chaos. There's no way you can vet people from Chad. They're on the list. North Korea, what can I say? Rocket Man kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then we get to Venezuela, and I'm sure there are people out there scratching their head and saying, Venezuela, wait a minute, that's Latin America. Well, what the media has not reported on, but I can tell you this is accurate, number one, there are terror training camps in the tri-border region of Brazil, mm-hmm. where Brazil abuts with Paraguay and Argentina. And those terror camps are being run by Hamas, Hezbollah, a client of Iran, by the way, probably ISIS and Al-Qaeda thrown in for good measure.
Do all of them work together, Michael? I mean, it seems like they might have big egos. Would they? I mean, do they have their own?
But they'll unite when they can take out a common enemy. My enemy's enemy is my friend.
Got
you
it.
Know? And so they do that. And so understand that we are the Satan. And so they certainly we're the number one target. And I live in the number one target in the United States. And yet our city is providing hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens with identity documents, even though we have no idea who they are. And the 9/11 Commission noted that the 19 hijackers on 9/11 in the aggregate used 364 false aliases or variations of false aliases. I guess they're trying to get the MVP award from ISIS here in New York. But meanwhile, they keep running to Congress, give us more money because we're a terror threat, but they won't follow the findings and recommendations of the 9/11 Commission.
Mm-hmm.
But Venezuela is a special case because Venezuela, going back to their prior leader, their dictator, if you will, has been allowing Iranian shock troops, their Quds, to fly directly from Tehran into Caracas, Venezuela, on a weekly basis. Venezuela has been providing them with ID, legitimate ID, and false names. So we're saying, okay, we don't know who these people are from Venezuela. We need to scrutinize them super carefully. And so unless they meet certain criteria, they can't get in. Now, here's where we connect some dots.
And that seems reasonable to me. You know, Michael, we've got a couple of minutes. This always goes so quickly.
That's why the border fence is so darn important. If they can't come through an international airport, I promise you they will make their way up to Mexico and cross the Mexican border. And that's why the border fence or the border wall needs to be another element to our national security.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking from somebody who knows Michael Carter, thank you so much. Cutler, I'm so sorry. What's wrong with my brain today? Is it Friday yet? But basically, tomorrow, like you said, you know, President Trump is changing around some of the countries and adding some new ones on, saying that there are some countries that we still need to enhance our vetting capabilities before we allow these people into our country. Why? Not because we hate the people on the outside, but because we love the people on the inside. You look out the people in your door before you let somebody in because you love the people on the inside. Michael Cutler, thank you so much. What's your website?
MichaelCutler.net. Also, I have an article on frontpagemag.com, California poised to provide sanctuary to alien criminals and terrorists. I write for The Social Contract. I'm frequently writing for Newsmax and CapsWeb.org. But the easiest thing, go to MichaelCutler.net. And tomorrow at 7 p.m. New York time, I do my blog talk radio show, The Michael Cutler Hour, 7 p.m. East Coast time. Ladies, thank you so much for having me on the program. It's a joy to be able to join you on your terrific show.
Well, thank you, Michael. We really appreciate you and all your hard work and your honesty. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you.
And, you know, Kimmy, you know, when we talk about these sanctuary states, it in sanctuary cities as well, what they're seeking to do, unfortunately, is protect people who are illegal, who are here and breaking the law. One way or another, they've broken the law. We don't want to hurt people who want to do the right thing for the families, but we want to protect our families, and that's why we need to pay attention. And so check out everybody, MichaelCutler.net. Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of really good insight because he's been there.
Well, and there really is kind of DACA. I see it as DACA 1 and DACA 2. And certainly the kids that grew up here, that I would kind of call that DACA 1. And I feel like from a political standpoint, then this whole DACA 2, these people that came through just recently, these older kids, they're trying to make it look like they're DACA 1. And so I really think, personally, I'd like to make sure that we are, you know, looking at the issue of DACA 2. So, but with that, we're just about out of time. And we love entrepreneurs, and we love all of our Growing Our Brand partners. And Jeremy McCallum is on the line with us. He has Alliance Insurance Services. Jeremy, how are you doing?
Great, ladies. How are you today?
Well, we're doing just fine. So give us a quick update. What's going on in the insurance industry right now? And just bear in mind, with Alliance Insurance Services, there's a variety of different companies that you work with, so you can really talk to your clients and put a plan together that works best for them and their budget.
Yep, that's what we do. Quick update for all the consumers out there. Colorado insurance carriers have started to take their rate for last May's hailstorm. We're about done talking about hail, as we just have a couple more days in hail season.
And then the snow comes.
Well, freezing season's right around the corner. what we're seeing right now is about a 15% rate increase on both the home and auto lines of insurance.
Ouch.
I would anticipate that's probably going to be close to double figures again next year, if not 10 or even 15% more. So just know that those adjustments are being made. We do represent several carriers at Alliance Insurance, so we can shop the marketplace, which is good because things are up and down in the marketplace now more than ever. As I had mentioned, the hail season is winding down, so we should be about as adjusted and rate solid as they need to be moving forward.
So, Jeremy, that 15%, I mean, that's a lot. What, you know, why? Why is that going up so much?
Well, these insurers have what's called their cost ratios and their combined loss ratios. And when they're continually paying out a total combined ratio of $1.50 for every dollar that they collect, which has kind of been the case in Colorado since about 2009, when the hailstorm started hitting, followed by more hail and fires and et cetera, et cetera. This one in May was the largest one we've ever seen. They're anticipating $1.4 billion in losses.
Wow. Okay, so yeah definitely. So yeah, they'll probably and so instead of doing the increases all at once, they probably are going to stair step them in a bit just to probably make it a little easier for people, huh?
Yeah, we've seen some carriers that are maybe a little less solvent take more rate this year and may not take as much next year, but typically that's what they like to do, is try to be as rate neutral as they can.
Okay, got it. Jeremy McCallum, how can people reach you? Because you are a real pro, and we can certainly endorse all the great work that you do. So how can people reach you?
Fantastic. We're at 303-431-9351.
And say it again, you cut out. Give the number again, please,
303- 303-431-9351. And our website is insuranceincolorado.net.
And if people go to the AmeriChicks website, we have your banner ad there, and that is also linked to your website. So that's another easy way to do that. So, Jeremy McCallum, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And thank you. We really appreciate your entrepreneurship and also being a Growing Our Brand partner with the AmeriChicks. Thank you so much.
Fantastic, ladies. Thanks for another great show.
Thanks, okay, Jeremy. Thanks. Yeah, hey, rather than just taking an insurance increase, go ahead and go to somebody who can shop it for you. Jeremy McCullum can, insuranceandco.net.
You got it. And a very good show today. I mean, boy, a lot of really important information. And that is really our goal, Molly, is to dissect these issues as right versus wrong instead of right versus left. Educate, inspire, and people need to engage. Engage your brain. Be thinking about these things. It's really important. So on immigration, I'm going to go back to George Washington. And this was his address to the members of the Volunteer Association of Ireland in 1783. He said, "The bosom of America is open to receive not only the opulent and the respectable stranger, but the oppressed and the persecuted of all nations and religions, whom we shall welcome to a participation of all of our rights and privileges, if by decency and propriety of conduct they appear to merit the enjoyment."